of Jesus. And his church says, amen. This morning, we are now entering into what's called the first warning of the five warnings that are in the book, or the letter, if you will, of Hebrews. Remember that Hebrews is chapter 13, 22 tells us that the author, it says, this is a letter of exhortation. I'm coming alongside of you not to discourage you, but to encourage these Jewish believers to keep running the race and to keep pressing on. Amen? And so here are these young Jewish believers. They're born again. The temple is over there, right in front of them. It's still standing. That means it had to be written before AD 70. It also means that the sacrifices and offerings were still going on. People were bringing animals there to be slaughtered by the priest, and the blood, the remission of their sins, and so forth. So the author, he writes to these young Jewish believers, old Jewish, whatever they are, doesn't matter the age, because they were not progressing in their walk with God. They were regressing. The Bible tells us, as we get later on in Hebrews, the author says, listen, you ought to be teachers right now. You know, but you can't. You still need the milk. And if you just can only live on milk, you're unskilled in the Word of God. You can't digest solid food. So they were not moving forward. So as we look at this incredible word this morning, these five warnings that have troubled so many generations of believers, thinking that they can lose their salvation. Listen, God only has one kind of salvation. He doesn't half save anyone. He doesn't quarter save anyone. You're either saved or you're not saved. Amen? God has only one kind of salvation, and that is eternal. Look up that word. It means forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen, if it's not true, if we can lose our salvation, we need to rip out Romans 8:1. Amen? A matter of fact, we need to rip out all of Romans chapter 8, because it begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation. Over 16 things that will never separate, maybe 17 in that chapter 8, that'll never separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If eternal salvation is not true, throw out Philippians 1:6. You know, he's not doing a good work in you, and he's not going to complete it. You know, if it's not true, loved one, then we need to run and grow. Get John chapter 10, 27 through 28. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I have an intimate relationship with them. They follow me. And then he goes to the next verse and he says, and no one will ever be able to snatch them out of my hands. Amen. So when we read the Word of God and know the Word of God, well, we know that God, if we're born again, loved one, we have eternal life. Amen? Now, so with all of that being said, to whom now, not just the five warnings, but let's do the first warning. That's the briefest of the five. To whom was this warning written? I want you to notice as we go along that the author includes himself. Was the author a believer? Of course he was. So it's written to Christians. It's not written to people that are lost. It's written to those who know and have been born again, who are partakers of God's heavenly calling. Jesus is their Lord. So before us, we look this morning at the first danger, if you will. May I tell you that what I'm about to share with you, the devil doesn't want the church to hear. Matter of fact, most pastors, and I'd say this lovingly, not judgingly, most pastors don't want to teach Hebrews on a Sunday morning. And I understand, it's a very difficult book. It's not an easy book to teach, and you have to really, really spend time in this difficult epistle or letter. So when we look at this morning, loved one, listen, the danger of drifting, that's what this is all about. That's the title of the sermon, Lest We Drift Away, okay? Now, with all that being said, again, the warnings are addressed to Jewish believers. They were, again, evidently wanting to keep part of the old covenant, maybe, we don't know, or maybe they wanted to go back to part of the sacrifices or whatnot. but they were in trouble in their thinking. And they were in trouble of drifting away from God's truth. And so what's so important this morning is in chapter 1, I just read it, and I did it on purpose, even though we've already covered it, because it was the incredible, glorious revelation from God to who Jesus Christ our Lord really is. Amen? But here's what happens now, and this is what I want you to catch. If you study out chapter 1, and you remember the two or three sermons, whatever it was, I never mentioned one command from God in chapter 1. You know why? There wasn't any commands. There wasn't any commands for the church to do. There wasn't one command for any believer to do. But now that we have gone through chapter 1, the very first verse of chapter 2, we find ourselves the first command in the book of Hebrews. Let's begin. It says, therefore, we, the author again, he includes himself, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have what? The things we have heard. Why? Lest we drift away. Therefore, takes us back to what I just read in chapter 1, the glorious revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He's saying, therefore, based on all of that, that Jesus is better, man, that God has spoken unto us through his Son in these last days. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. He is superior to all things. That's the theme of Hebrews. 13 times the author says Jesus is better. And not only that, because the Jewish believers and every generation, they received a better revelation than the old covenant. They're now in the new covenant. Now listen carefully. This first command in Hebrews, I want you to look at those words in verse 1 because they are vital. I pray they enter into your heart and my heart. Man, I mean, everyone that's listening live, that these words are top priority. We are commanded to listen to Jesus. Does that make sense? From chapter 1, God has now spoken, but in these last days, how does he speak? He speaks through his Son. Jesus is the Word. Amen? Oh, that's so important. Loved one, listen, we must, those words, we must there. That's not an option. That is a divine necessity. It literally could read like this. We must give all earnestly, over the top, more careful attention to the things we have heard. The things that Jesus has said, the four gospels, amen? Or even the first chapter in the book of Acts. Oh, loved one, listen, when we look at this, the writer, I want you to notice, the writer didn't say there that they were rejecting what they had heard, but they were neglecting what they had heard. Do we do that? Yes. Loved one, we don't want to be in that category, do we? Not in the day that we are living in right now. No, sir. No, listen, with the things that we have heard, meaning the truth about Jesus and who Jesus is. Listen to me. Will you ever go wrong listening to Jesus?
No.
No, think about it. So what does the author say? He says, you got to get back to chapter 1. Man, God has spoken, not the prophets. See, Jesus is better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. You got to listen to Jesus. He is God's last word to mankind. Amen? And that's what he says to do. And we want to listen to him. And I believe today in the church, the 21st century church, I think that should challenge all of us. I think that this should be a wake-up call to the church today. Think, I'm going to ask you a question. The first command in Hebrews, okay? Is it hard? I mean, do you sweat?
No.
Do you have to labor? Do you have to pull out your wallet? No. Listen to me. I mean, how hard is it to listen? Hello? See, you heard me. That hurt. My ears are killing me. No. Loved one, listen to me. The command is not difficult. God says in his word, he who hath ears to hear, listen. Listen, listen. What did God say from heaven? He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen or hear him. Listen to him. Are you listening to Jesus? No, really. Are you listening to Jesus? He's the Holy, you know, he's given us, we're not orphans. We have another type of Christ, amen. We have the Holy Spirit, if you will. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He lives in us, amen. He illuminates every page on the Bible. Listen, we're not only to listen to Jesus. We're not only to consider Jesus, as we'll learn later. We're not only to see him, but we are looking unto him as the author and the finisher of our faith. Why do we need to listen to Jesus? Why do we need to hear him? Look at it. Lest we, what? Drift away. Did you know that word drift away is only here in the New Testament? It's a nautical term, if you will. You know, like ships and boats and all of those kinds of things. It means like a like if you went fishing and you're in your own boat, but you come up to the harbor and you take out the rope and you tie it to the harbor dock and all that kind of stuff, but you did it carelessly. And all of a sudden, the boat just drifts away very quietly. The boat doesn't scream to the owner, hey, help me, help me. It just drifts away silently, quietly, totally unnoticed. And you go back to the dock and you go, what happened to my ship? That word there in the Greek is a picture of something slipping away, something floating away. It's even used in the Greek language of your ring slipping off your finger and you didn't unnotice it. Like, you know, you have a pair of gloves on, you put take them off and your ring's still in the whatever. No. Hello. No, think about that for a minute. It means something that's washed away and it has left, floating away, and it has left the place of safety. So what is the point? What is the author trying to say there? Because see, those Jewish people, the Jewish believers, they understood those words, okay? They understood. So the danger here is that of a tremendous loss occurring unnoticed. It's like if you ever been on fishing and then you see a dead fish just floating by you. Is he struggling? No, he's dead. He's just floating. He goes wherever the current's going to take him. He has no effort. Do you see? Have you ever just got out into the ocean or anywhere and just floated? Yeah, isn't it relaxing? Boy, it's a dangerous thing. Here to float. See, drifting requires no effort. It's like this. You have a slow, unnoticed leak in your automobile tire. And you don't really notice it. Oh, you look at it and say, it looks a little low. Ah, you know, it's all right. Just the weather. And then before you know it, it's completely flat. That's how it happens. It's a very slow process. McLaren, a great man of God who's gone home years ago to be with the Lord, says this. This word, drifting away, lest we drift away, conveys a vivid picture of a man holding some treasure, but he does so with limp fingers and allowing it to drop from his nerveless grasp. What a word. Now, what were they, the Jewish believers, what were they drifting away from? They were drifting away from listening to the words of Jesus. Amen? In other words, they were drifting from the truth. They were drifting away from the things that they had already heard. And they were neglecting those things. Listen, they were slowly drifting away from the truth that sets them free. They were slowly drifting away from the privileges that they have in Christ. They were slowly drifting away from who they were in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask you a question. Drifting away from the things that they have heard, meaning the four gospels, the good news that was taught to them about Jesus Christ, the new birth and all the rest of it. I wonder, has the message of the good news slipped away, floated away out of the heart of the New Testament church today? Boy, I'll tell you, loved one, we need to listen. We need to listen to Jesus. How strong, loved one, there is that strong, ungodly current that's running through the church today. So many churches, they're not doing what God says in His Word. As a matter of fact, they are totally disagreeing with the exalted Word of God. Amen? So many of them are doing that. Listen, we have to, in this generation, we have to anchor our hearts to the Word of God. It's truth. Amen? What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 4:4? It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We have to anchor our heart to God's Word. We have to anchor ourselves to our anchor, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord, lest we drift away. Why? Because we can drift slowly, unnoticed in our lives in this world. You know why? We live in a post-truth culture. Do you understand? Not only, we're just not a post-Christian culture anymore. We are a post-truth culture. There is no absolute truth to this world that we live in anymore. The Bible certainly isn't their truth. No, and this current, this spiritual current that's flowing right now of the world, it's flowing right through the church. See, we have to not neglect the things we have heard. If, just look at this one. If we neglect Luke 9:23, where Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me," here's what you have to do. These are the conditions. If you want to come after me, you want to travel with me, you want to have the ultimate adventure, He says, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Disown yourself. Take up the cross daily and then follow me. Now, loved one, listen to me. If we don't listen to that word, here's what happens. You love the Lord. But Jesus, because we listen, we're not listening to the Word, we're not doing what He says, Jesus slowly floats, drifts out of our sight. Why? We're not following Him. Does that make sense? See, we have to do what He tells us to do. We have to listen to Him. Look at verse 2 now. It says, "For if the word spoken through angels..." Now, we've covered that. Remember the giving of the law? The angels were there on Mount Sinai, Moses and all of that. Galatians 3:19, I believe it is, and Deuteronomy 33:2. It says, "If the word spoken by angels proved steadfast," if it proved sure and certain, "and every transgression," any willful disobedience that we might have done or they might have done. It says, "every transgression and disobedience," disobedience comes from careless hearing, by the way, "received a just reward," a just penalty, a just punishment, "how shall we" what? How shall we flee out of a place? How shall we escape? Here's this word now. If we neglect, not reject it, but if we neglect so great a salvation, which was at first began to be spoken by the Lord, meaning Jesus, the four gospels that we have, and was confirmed, meaning proved to be true to us, He says, by those who heard Him, or who heard Jesus, the apostles, the disciples, all the eyewitnesses, and so forth. So He says this to us and to them. He says, "How shall we, whom God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" I want you to catch something now in that verse. The warning to the Jewish believers and to us, the present day believers, is conditional. What do I mean by that? Well, the word "if" there is conditional in this verse. In other words, the exhortation that the author is giving them in this letter is to prevent this from happening, okay? It's just a warning. Let me ask you a question. How in the world is it possible for any born-again, spirit-filled believer to neglect, that word means neglect, give little attention to, regard so lightly, so great a salvation? How can that be possible? I mean, surely if they neglect that, it must be because they don't understand what it means to be saved. So a lot of people think being saved, that's it. I've made it. I have my fire insurance or whatever. That's not what the Bible teaches. No, loved one. No, listen. If any believer is neglecting, not paying attention to, or regards so great a salvation lightly, there's only one reason for it. They don't consider it a great salvation. They don't know what they were saved from. Are you following me? Oh, loved one, listen, hell is a real place. We were saved from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and one day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin when Jesus comes for us. Amen? Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, listen, we are saved by a great Savior at a great cost from a great penalty, and it is also mankind's greatest need. Jesus said, you must be born again. Think about it, this great salvation that we have. I don't know about you, but I was dead in trespasses and sins. I mean, spiritually dead. What does that mean? It means I went through the activities of life, but they were all physical. They were not spiritual. I was dead. I was as dead as someone over in Greenwood Cemetery. Do you understand? I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was separated from God. And then he did something. He made me alive. He made me a new man, made you a new man, a new woman. Amen? And then what happened? And there we were. I don't know where you were. You know where I was. I was on that beach in Florida. That was back in the Jesus revolutionary days. Remember the hippies? I used to be one. I never could wear those beads around my neck, though. You know, I could go for the bell bottoms, the tie-dye, and all that. Long hair, I had it all. Had the beard. You know, I'm a handsome man. And that hippie on the beach brought me to the Lord. I did not know that the moment I was saved, I was justified, just as if I had never sinned. I didn't know what justified meant. I didn't know that everything in Ephesians became mine. I had no idea that I was blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus my Lord. I had no idea. Are you following me? I never read the Bible. I didn't even know what Ephesians was. Do you understand? Can you imagine that? I didn't even know any of the books of the Bible. I only thought there was one Bible, the King James Bible. I didn't know there were many different versions. No, I didn't know I was blessed. I didn't know that God chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. I didn't know that he and I am now accepted in the beloved. I didn't know that. I didn't know that I was sealed with the Spirit. Now I was adopted. I was his son. I didn't know that I was seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. How could the church today ever even think about neglecting, thinking lightly of such a great salvation? Oh, loved one, listen. I look, I said, dear Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:21, how about this one? It says, and he, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Think of that. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are the church. We are saved by grace. Amen? Oh, and I say, God, you're so good. But listen to me now. This great salvation that we have is the same as it is in chapter 1, verse 14, when it speaks about, look at it, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister these angels for those who will inherit salvation? So here it is future. The salvation in chapter 2 is future. It's talking about the kingdom age. This is written to Jews. Jewish believers. It's talking about the 1,000-year reign. That's all future. We're going to inherit salvation. Amen? And we're saved, but there's something coming. So this is speaking here in the verse that we're covering. It's speaking about not losing salvation, loved one, but the losing of the rewards that God has for you and in heaven. In other words, when we appear at the Bema seat of Christ. Listen, justification is just first base. Amen? That's it. And then after justification, you can't live in the past if you're a Christian. In other words, justification is past tense. Sanctification is future tense, ongoing, present tense, continuous. We are going from glory to glory to glory. Amen? We are still in the process of sanctification. It's the beginning. It says in Hebrews 12:25, it says, see then that you do not refuse him who speaks. In other words, that first command, remember, listen to Jesus. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? So it says there in the Word, it says, if we neglect so great of salvation, loved one, how are we going to escape? How are we going to escape this planet? How are we going to, it says, how shall we? It doesn't say they. Why? Because to escape is personal for every person, isn't it? You know, Jesus used the same Greek word for escape here and so forth, talking about the lost. Do you know that if you don't know Christ, you know this, are they going to escape? No, they're not going to escape, loved one. They're going to miss out on so great a salvation if they don't come to Christ. Jesus used the same word in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, 36. He says, watch, you know, stay awake, be alert. Therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy, here it comes, to escape all those things that will come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. In Romans 2, 3, and 4, God talks about those who are judging. He said, oh, man, who are you? Who are you to judge somebody else, man? He says, how are you going to escape the punishment that's coming? Do you not know that it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance? And it is the goodness of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Paul writes, for when they, not us, when they, the lost, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. In other words, it comes with no warning. And it comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Here it comes. And they shall not escape. In the Greek, that's a double negative, meaning it's no possibility of escape. The only way to escape is Jesus. Amen? Oh, what a great salvation that we have. You remember in Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter, the 26th verse, it says, and Jesus said, you know, it says to listen to Jesus, remember? He says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus is going to return to a world that's not expecting him to return. Amen? To a world that is totally and completely unprepared. We're not unprepared. We have the Word of God. Listen to Jesus. He says, well, they ate, they drank, they married wives, given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Listen to me. Did Noah, the preacher of righteousness, preach to them for 120 years? Did any of them escape? No. Why? They did not listen. They did not listen. That's the first command in Hebrews. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the truth. Amen? Listen to those things. Listen, there's only one escape. His name is Jesus, our Lord. He says this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, I forget what verse it is, but he says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but it leads only unto death. Now listen, we are in a war. Do you put on your armor every day? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe that if you really pick up the shield of faith that you'll quench every fiery dart of the wicked one? If you're not believing that, you're not listening. You're not listening. Listen, the devil, oh, he loves neglecting believers. Those that do not regard what Jesus has done for them, they regard that lightly. Oh, listen, man. You know, we think about the things that we neglect. We're all guilty at times in our life of neglecting prayer and Bible study and so forth. But one of the worst things that a Christian can do personally is Hebrews, was it 10:25-24? It says, "Do not forsaking yourselves together." In other words, the assembly of yourselves together. In other words, we need to be in church. We need to connect with one another. We need to help one another, love one another, be good to one another. Amen. We are brothers and sisters. We are the body of Christ. Man, listen to me. I'm going to tell you, neglect, spiritual neglect has a terrible cost. See, because it's slow. It's not fast. It's just slow because we start neglecting things. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, we start drifting past all that God has for us in this life. We're just not in tune anymore. We're just floating with the world, man. And we miss the plan of God, the presence of God, the provision of God, and so forth. Let me ask you a question. When you think of the Apostle Paul, you know, number one, that Hebrews is about running the race. Amen? It's about pressing on. It's about running with endurance. It's about not quitting. It's not about losing your salvation. We have to keep moving on, going from glory to glory. Now, my question is this. Did the Apostle Paul, did he believe himself to be saved? Well, of course he did. But now I want you to listen to this saved man talk. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And they do it to obtain a perishable crown. He's now giving a contrast with the Greeks' world of the Olympics and all that. He says, and they do it to obtain a perishable crown, that little wreath that they would put on. But we, for an imperishable crown. In other words, our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? He says, but I discipline my body. He says, man, I fight, I run, I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest after I preach to others, here it comes, I myself should become disqualified. That doesn't mean to lose your salvation. It means that I don't want, the word disqualified means to fail the test. Paul says, I don't want to fail. I'm running. I'm fighting. I'm pressing on. I'm listening to Jesus. I'm looking unto Jesus. Does that make sense? And that's what he was doing. And he says, listen, I don't want to lose what's going to be at the Bema seat for me. Listen, not one of us, if you are born again, not one of us here, you listening live, you listening on the radio, listen, if you know Christ, none of us will float by the Bema seat of Christ. Do you understand? No, the Bible tells us this. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he's done, whether good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5:10. But the Bema seat of Christ is not about salvation. We're already saved. It's about losing rewards, amen? Amen. And getting rewards. So what was Paul's fear? Not losing his salvation. He didn't want anybody to take his crown. What disqualifies a believer? In other words, makes them unfit. It's drifting from the truth that we know and drifting from the truth that we have heard. It's neglecting those things. Listen, I know that sometimes life is hard. No, I think life is hard a lot. I think Jacob was the one of my favorite scriptures. He says, when Pharaoh asked him how old he was, he said, few have been my days. He said, many have been my days, and they have been full of evil, full of trouble. We could probably say the same in many areas, right? But loved one, listen to me now. We can't stop running the race. See, we can't. We have to keep running. We have to obey that first commandment in Hebrews. We have to listen to our Savior. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us in Revelation 3:11, behold, I'm coming quickly. And he really is. He may come today. He says, hold fast to what you have. That means you already have something. Hold fast to what you have. Let no one take your crown. If you're holding something fast, it means it is precious to you. You hold it tightly. It means that you don't neglect it. Listen, someone wants your crown. He wants you to float out of the harbor, Jesus' harbor, and float over to his harbor. Does that make sense? The wicked one's harbor. Oh, he's got a plan for you, believe me. He has a plan for me as well. Listen, he loves drifters, and he's waiting for all who drift away from Jesus. Now, Paul said again, Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained, I love Paul, or I'm already perfected. Now, man, I love Paul, but and he goes, here's what I do. I press on. Why? That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Don't you love Paul? I mean, he said, Paul says, hey, I haven't arrived. I am still going from glory to glory in my walk, my spiritual growth. It is not complete at all. Listen, Paul wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He was caught up into the third heaven. He was personally taught the gospel by Jesus Christ himself for 3 years in Arabia. I mean, I'm looking at all that. And I say, wow, here is a church planter. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was imprisoned. And he just said, I have not arrived. He said, what he was saying is, I have not drifted away from Jesus. I listened to him. I have not drifted away from hearing him. I have not neglected him. Have you? Have we, this church? The Bible tells us, let us lay aside, cast away, get rid of the sin, a particular sin, meaning the sin of unbelief, the sin that so easily besets us. And it says in Hebrews, 12:1, and let us run the race with endurance. In other words, a determined dedication to never stop. Amen? That's what we have to do, loved one. He says, that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Look at verse 3 again. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, just neglect, so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, meaning Jesus himself, the Gospels, and was confirmed to us, the writer says, by those who heard him. So this salvation that we have, first spoken about the Lord, remember what Jesus, when he came, he says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, listen, it was confirmed, proved to be sure, certain by the apostles. And in verse 4 that we're about to read, it's going to be borne witness by God. Did you see the Trinity there? Jesus, God, now the Holy Spirit, watch this. God also bearing witness, both with these, look at the plurals, loved one, signs, wonders, various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And how did all that happen? According to his own will, not man's effort. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, the miraculous, it was God's will then, it is God's will today. Amen? It is God's will today. So it says God bears them witness. That presents the highest evidence of all that is absolutely. You can't dispute God. You know, in Peter's sermon, in Acts 2:22, he says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, a man attested by God, detested by man, we should say. It says, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you also know. So the children of Israel there at Pentecost, they all witnessed the miracles, the things that were taking place. Jesus, of course, did he raise the dead? Yes. Did he heal the leper, heal the blind? Yeah, all those things. Listen, the book of Acts, if you go back and study it, it began with all Jesus began to do, and Jesus is still doing it. Amen? It hasn't ended. The birth of the church was supernatural, and most of the church no longer believes in the supernatural. Let me ask you a question. What has replaced miracles and signs and wonders and healings today? Nothing. Nothing. If it has, then we need to erase Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God. I do not change. The gifts are just as available today as they were then, loved one. No, praise God. It says in Acts 2:32, and this Jesus God is raised up. We're all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus sat down, listen to what he did. He poured out this, which you now seeing here, meaning the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is talking about the endowment of power, not the birth of the church here. Now listen, then it says that fear came upon every soul because of the wonders that were done through the apostles. Don't you want to go back to be in awe like they were in awe? The word fear means they were in awe. Jesus in their midst. I tell you what, that makes you in awe, amen? They weren't in awe of big church buildings. There weren't any. But they wouldn't be in awe of that. They weren't in awe of what kind of programs the church offers. Are you listening to me? No, they weren't in awe of a pastor, dear God. No, they were in awe of Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They loved Jesus. They wanted Jesus. They wanted Jesus to come back. Loved one, listen to me. I want you to go back one more time and look at the command in verse 1. Look at Hebrews 2:1 one more time. Therefore we, this first command in Hebrews, to listen to Jesus. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed. Be careful, don't neglect it, to the things we have heard, past tense. Why? Lest we drift away. No Christian says, I'm going to be a lukewarm believer. Amen? No, we don't do that. Man, let me ask you a question. And I say this because I ask myself the same question. I say this in love because I do love you. What makes you alive? No, what turns you on? I mean, what just, man, oh, you're in the zone. I mean, what is it? I mean, today it's almost like, man, I got that new iPhone. Huh? Come on. I've got that brand new video game. I tell you what I've seen with a lot of Christians, they become alive over politics more than Jesus. Ooh, that felt good. Yeah. Some of you can't wait to get to that Super Bowl party. You know what made Paul alive? He said in Philippians 1:21, he says, let me tell you what makes me alive. For me to live is Christ. The church has to say that again. We belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, loved one, an unshakable people, do not neglect the things that we've heard. Amen? We can't do that. Listen, you know that 2023, this year, is our Jordan. We have not, this is, it's not a year, it is a travel, if you will. You know, and we can only take what belongs to us by faith. J. Vernon McGee said this, there are two places in which a believer can live. He can live in the desert, he can live in the wilderness, or he can enter the blessings of God by spiritually crossing the Jordan. Isn't that great? That's what we're talking about. He says, we find the example of this in Israel. God warned them that they would miss his blessings if they failed to enter the land. I'm going to ask you a question. How many people left Egypt by the blood of the Lamb? The children of Israel? Had to be over 1 million people. Were they saved? Of course. They came out by the blood of the Lamb. How many made it? Did Aaron make it? Did Moses make it? Well, Moses was a righteous man. But did Moses make it? How many people made it? Two. Joshua and Caleb. Why did they make it? They listened to God and they believed God. We are in revolution. Everything that we do has to revolve around the throne of grace. That's where Jesus is. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. There is a storm that is coming. Bill, you don't know that. I do know that. Jesus told us. You don't listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, I say unto you, whoever hears, say that word, hears. That means to listen. Amen? Whoever hears these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. A wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended. The floods came. The winds blew. They beat on that house. It didn't fall. It was founded on the rock. Do you understand? You know what happened to the man that heard the sayings and didn't do them? He built his house on sand. Listen, there is a storm coming. The church is either going to be wise or you're going to be a fool. I told you earlier, the Lord spoke to my heart out of the book of Joshua about 2023, saying in my prayer time that we have not passed this way before. It's different. But God has already passed for us. He's already passed for us. Now listen to me. You cannot, loved one, you cannot lay the foundation that is needed in a storm. Do you understand? You can't build your life in the storm. You have to get on the rock before the storm comes, or you won't stand. That's the storms of life, they're going to come. And listen to me, Jesus, listen to what he says. He said this. He said, only the life built on hearing and doing obtained the victory. I'm going to give you quickly a few signs that maybe you might be drifting, and you can correct it. You listen and then you correct it. Let me give you the first sign. You're not progressing, you're regressing. In other words, the process of transformation in your life, you're no longer going into Christ-likeness, you're at a standstill. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is the verse that you need to read. You know, that we're beholding Jesus, amen? And that the Holy Spirit is transforming us into the same image from glory to glory, into the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. Some of you maybe, I hope you're not, but are you stuck in glory? You know why you're stuck in glory? Let me just read the scripture again. It says you're transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. That's how it happens. So if you're stuck in glory, there's only one answer as to why you're stuck, and that is you are resisting the leading of the Holy Spirit, the only one who wants you and can take you from glory to glory. Amen? If you're not beholding, you're not going to change. Oh, loved one, listen. That means you're drifting a little bit. It means you need to get back to the place where you're not floating through this life. You know that the basis of all transformation is the renewal of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Amen? You know that. I know that. Let me give you the second reason. Some of you, maybe not any of you, I pray not, those are listening live. You know, the second sign would be that you've returned living life like the old man instead of the new man. What does that mean? You have fallen back in love with the world. You are friends again with the world, meaning instead of being, do not be conformed to this world, squeezed into its mold, you are back in it. The thing that you have been delivered of, for you are not of this world. In other words, it means this. It means that you've drifted back into perhaps the pig pen, like the prodigal. And you know what you need to do? You need to come to your senses and say, I'm going back to my dad, amen, and get right with God. The third sign. You neglect things you know you must be doing. The Bible, someone told me many years ago, I'll never forget, he was preaching in the pulpit, and he says, some of you, your Bible sitting there on the coffee tables has so much dust on it, you can write your name. I didn't say it, he did. Reading your Bible, 1 to 10, what are you? The scale 1 to 10, oh, I'm a 5, okay. Prayer time, scale 1, I'm a 5. Well, that's lukewarm, isn't it? What does Jesus do with lukewarm believers? Okay, I'm not going to go there. Number four, fourth sign. You no longer have a deep concern for the lost. Now, listen to me. You no longer have a deep concern for the lost. And here's what that means. It means, Christian, you have drifted away from the very heart of God. That's exactly what that means. There's no other way to say it. Why? John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever would believe in him not perish, have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his son into the world that they might be saved. That's the heart of God. Jesus, in Luke 19:10, he says this, the Son of Man, I have come to seek and to save those that are lost. Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, "Who God, who desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Peter agrees with it. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He's long-suffering toward us all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Man, that means if we're not wanting to see people come to Christ, we're not listening. Now, the fifth sign. This is a tough one. God's word no longer has an effect upon you. Christianity is now boring to you. Oh, let me give you the command. James 1:22. Be ye not doers, but be ye doers of the word. Apply it in your life. Practice it. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. To hear and obey. If you don't, it says we're deceived. Remember that hearing and doing is not two acts, it's one act. Amen? Now, so God's word has no effect on our lives. Remember what Jesus said listen to what Jesus said. Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I say?" Jesus said, "My sheep, they hear me, they know me, they know my voice. They don't follow the voice of a stranger, they follow me." Now listen to me. I know it's time to go. I'm going a little bit long, but just bear with me. The church adrift. You know what I've really come to believe with all my heart? You know what the main problem is? The reason that we get in so much trouble, just all of it. We must get our eyes on the true problem in our life. You see, the true problem in our life is not America. It's not the critical race theory. It's not the color of someone's skin, dear God. It's not the police. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. It's Biden. I mean, No, I didn't mean that. I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. It's not our schools. The greatest problem in your life, in my life, is me, is you, is self. Do you understand? That's why Paul said, Galatians 2:20, "Oh, I've been crucified with Christ. I am dead. Man, it's not me. I am through. I was co-crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's no longer about Paul. It can't be about us anymore. It has to be about Jesus. Listen, if you really want to fear one thing in your life, fear yourself. Fear yourself. We live in the midst of the most educated people in all of humanity. Did you know that? In all of humanity, and yet our nation is biblically illiterate. Did you know, according to Barna, 82% of believers, they don't study their Bible, believers, they believe that the Bible contains the words, "God helps those who help themselves." That's not there, loved one. It's not there at all. Listen, the cost of drifting. Drifting is going to take you out of the harbor of It'll take you to a harbor to where I can, if I get over here, I hope it's going to be okay. No, you already have the blessed hope. You already have him. Oh, he loves you. So great a salvation. Listen, if you don't listen to Jesus, you're going to drift right past your miracle that you might need or others might need. If you don't stay close, loved one, listen to him, you could drift past your future spouse. You could be drifting right back to your provision or your job, drift away from God's purpose and his plan for your life. Hebrews 4:7 says this, "Today," that means right now, "today, if you will hear," listen, the first commandment of Hebrews, "if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart." Some of you might be drifting. Loved one, if that it is, it's time for you to stop drifting. It is time to come home. Jesus is your only altar. There is no other way. Amen. Father, as our heads are bowed, You know each and every heart, no one looking around and every eye closed. Only you know if you're drifting. If you are, why don't you say, today, I'm not drifting anymore. And you lift your hand to God and say, this is my faith right now, Lord. I am no longer drifting from harbor to harbor in this life. I'm not going to pretend to hear you and not do what you tell me to do. If that's you, would you lift your hand to the Lord and say, Father, today, yes, that's right. Yes, yes, yes. You know who you are. Oh, so many. You know who you are. Oh, God, you know who they are. And they just, their hearts are being lifted to you right now. Lord, bless your sheep now. Pull them back into the harbor of your love and your joy and your peace and your direction. Thank you. We praise you. And Lord, if there's no one here, anyone here, they've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life, you can do so right now, right this minute. You don't have to get out of your chair, but Jesus wants you. He died for you. You can just lift your hand and say, Bill, I'm not a believer. I want to be saved right now. Is that you? Quickly. I just want to, is there anyone this morning in this early service? Yes, God bless you back there. I see that. Anyone else? Say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus and I want him right now. I want to be saved. You that are listening live, you pray this prayer with me too. If you're asking that, everyone here, help me right now. Say, Father, I lifted my hand. I'm listening. I'm listening to your son. I want to be saved. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, you raised him from the dead. You promised, Lord, if I would believe Jesus as my Lord, you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. God is so good. Let's stand. Listen, you that lifted your hands, the altar will be open after we close with a song. There's a book right here entitled Welcome to the Family of God. Please pick that up before you leave. If you're listening live, you prayed that prayer, just email me at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address. That book will be mailed out first thing in the morning. Isn't God good? No, he's good. Amen. He's good. Revolution. We are in revolution. Listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He's going to take you. He's going to take this church to places that we have never been before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, I even pray now. I just was quickened in my heart. If you are ill in your body, I sense, I know. If you're ill in your body, Jesus is a healer. There is nothing too hard for him. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to beg. You just say, Lord, here am I. And whoever they are, Lord, whoever they are, please, thank you. Touching them. Driving out disease, infirmity, sickness from their bodies that belong to you. Displace everything that infects them by your grace and goodness. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. 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 Let's sing to the Lord, shall we? God is so good. Yes, you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good to me. And I love him so. Thank you, Jesus. I love him so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I love him so. He's so good to me.
Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.